This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me are Lisa and Travis. And today we're going to talk about how they are scared of the dark. Are you guys scared of the dark? I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Darkness, like when I'm all by myself and in the dark, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. I don't know about you guys. Does it, you, Travis, or are you just like, I love the darkness?
I mean, like it's when it's dark out up here and there's no clouds, it's not really dark outside. But at night, and it's dark, pitch black, because there's no, yeah, and then you hear the wind blowing and like everything creaks like you're on a ship. That frightens me a little bit.
Yeah. I remember coming home from old Birdman's house, and it was late at night, and I was by myself, and I had to go through this dark alley by myself. And man, I ran through that thing. I probably was Usain Bolt, is that his name, speed at that point. I think I broke his world record running through that because I was scared out of my mind. You know, you start imagining things, like things are going to pop out of nowhere. And it's just kind of chaotic in those moments where there is darkness or where you can't see your hand in front of your face. Those moments of like you're out somewhere and you're like, I cannot see at all.
Well, yeah, I think too, when it's so dark, it really brings to mind the fact that you're all alone. Like if you are in fact alone, and even if you're in, like if you're in the bottom, if you've ever been spelunky or whatever, and it's spelunking in a cave, it's so, so dark that even if you're with people, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And it brings out the like relational desire that we have, like to be with other people and to know that we're safe, you know?
Well, yeah. Have you ever gone down in the Quincy mine?
I have not.
And they shut the lights off on you? Whoa, you know there are other people there, but it's a whoa moment because there is nothing down there. It is this dark and you go, this is horrible. And there's this passage of scripture where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And we want to explore that. What does that actually mean? What is he actually saying? And why is it so profound that he's talking about light? One of the things I think that is interesting is we can't actually know darkness because darkness doesn't exist outside of the absence of light. Albert Einstein said that. There's this famous quote from him. A professor asked, does evil exist? And a student says something to the effect of God created everything. And he said, well, did he create evil? And it kind of shuts down the student in this moment. And Albert Einstein says, well, do you believe that darkness exists, to the professor? And he says, of course. And Albert Einstein says, you're wrong, sir. Darkness does not exist. Darkness in reality is the absence of light. Light we can study, but not darkness. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break white light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. You cannot measure darkness. A simple ray of light can break into the world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain space is? You measure the amount of light present. Isn't that correct? Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is no light present. And then he asks the professor again, he says, does evil exist? And the professor responds, of course, I've already said that. And then Albert Einstein says, evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. And man, what a brilliant kind of answer. It was kind of brilliant. He was not a follower of Jesus, and he really struggled with the concept of God, but he recognized the goodness of God, and we measure things in goodness. We measure things in light, in how we see reality. And so when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he is speaking about reality. If you walk into a dark room, you actually don't know what's in the room. And it is chaotic. But once you have light, you can see that there's chairs or other people or, you know, a Sasquatch sitting in there, you know, that you need to run from, whatever that may be. But it's only the light reflecting off those objects that you actually understand anything in reality. It has causality, is based in light.
And that's a good point. The preschool room, they've got those little tiny chairs and they're about shin height. So you walk in there to go to find something without turning on the lights. You have no idea where the chairs are at until your shin bashes against them. And that's kind of this concept of what we're talking about with Jesus. John, the Gospel of John, has a couple passages in there where Jesus is talking about him being the light. John chapter 12, verse, 35 and 36. He says, "Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light so you can become children of light." And then in 46, he goes on to say, "I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness." And he's obviously talking about him being God and with them in that moment. But he's also talking about him being, you know, this light in the world, that there is that without God, that darkness, that evil, that sin that is prevalent. And that when we walk in the light, when we follow Jesus, when we follow his footsteps, his teaching, have a personal relationship with him, that we have that illumination in our life between what is good and what is not.
Yeah, there's two types of light, right? There's this light that speaks to the reality of the physical, and we perceive it. Like, we can see things because light illuminates it here in this world, and yet the Romans 1 says that the invisible qualities, or the qualities of God, or the characteristics of God, are all there for us to see as we look at the physical world. And yet Jesus comes filled with truth and filled with grace, and he comes to illuminate our relationship that we have. You know, we have a resident philosopher with us, and she tells us that's the whole concept of the Enlightenment.
Yep. I'm sorry you interrupted me making some philosophical notes on a post-it. Okay. Yeah, the idea that in God's light, we see light is something that is rich philosophically, but also in scripture. And I was thinking, as Travis was talking, I went on a rabbit trail in my mind of the idea of light and how it appears in philosophy. And we see this from Plato, who has his really famous allegory of the cave, where we find these prisoners in a cave and they don't know what they're looking at. And it's super, super dark down there. But there is a little bit of light that comes out, that comes from the ground above. And through this metaphor, Plato leads to what he calls his ideals, where we find truth and justice and beauty, which we would call in this conversation something like God. And then from Plato on, and there are many, many passages of scripture. But as Pastor Travis was talking about Jesus being the light of the world, I was actually thinking about in John, when he says, "I have come to give you life to the full." And it reminded me then of Psalm 36, which is a beautiful passage describing what it means to have this abundant life. Psalm 36, 8 and 9 say this: "They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." And so the abundant life that Jesus gives us, who is the light of the world, speaks to us in ways that we become then the light of the world. We radiate from him, and he gives to us this abundant, amazing life that we only see light and truth and reality and goodness. That is the way that we measure things. Those are a really profound idea. We only see that in his light. And I think that's just, you can tell I get real excited about these kinds of things. Sorry.
Well, you think about even plants, right? Yeah. Like, they never grow away from the light. They grow toward the light. And the same thing, when you start following Jesus, the goal isn't to grow away from the light, it's grow toward the light and to grow in the likeness of who Jesus is, who is the light of the world. And so the concept of him saying this, that he's the light of the world, he's the one who illuminates the truth and the reality of how this world works, how we're designed, what we were designed to do. All of those things are connected to him. When he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," it's all connected. It's a way. We go toward the way. We understand truth, and it produces life. And it is because he is the light of the world. He is the measure of all that is good. When he says that in John, that he's being asked a question, and someone says, "Good teacher." And he says, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." Well, that's a profound statement, because the measurement of good is only connected to God. And so we only understand goodness with God. So I can't understand goodness in and of myself. Like, I can't understand it unless there's light given to it. In the Bible describes us as we are sinners who were in darkness. We could not understand this. And Jesus comes, or God comes, and brings light to our reality so we can see in the darkened world in which we live. And I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. We can see that this is good, this is not good. And so God has given us a certain amount of light that is like in the natural order of things. And we call it common sense, that some people have and some people don't, right? But there, we can come up, but there's certain amounts of things that we kind of understand really early on that this is good, this is bad. But why do we understand anything that is good? It's only because of God. God is good. And Augustine kind of talks about that, right? And your philosophical understanding of that?
Yeah, I mean, the beginning of his Confessions has that really famous passage where he says that our hearts are ever inclined toward him. And he basically is saying that there is this hole in our heart that leads us and pushes us. And that hole might look like the absence of light, where we know that we are in the darkness, even though we can't quite name it. And then Augustine works through his Confessions, which is a little bit whiny, a little bit prayer, some really beautiful language, where he brings people to the understanding of what it looked like for him to experience that light and truth and reality for himself. And C.S. Lewis has also his book, Surprised by Joy, is one of the most beautiful stories of testimony, where he says the same thing. At some point in C.S. Lewis's journey, he becomes surprised by the glorious, radiating light and joy of God. And this idea that light is an interesting thing, not just philosophically, but also psychologically and emotionally. I mean, we live here in the UP, and I got to be real with you. Moving from Arizona, right? There's 360 days of sun, and it's amazing, and you can count on it, and you don't even have to look at your weather app. But here, this nonsense with clouds all the time actually gets in my spirit, and the winters are dark, and it's dark at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I don't even know why I live here anymore. But there, as I'm describing this, but it does something to us, to our joy, to our understanding of reality. Light isn't just about intellectual assent or knowledge. Light is life-giving. That's why Jesus is the light of the world, because he really does give us life. So again, sorry, I get all excited about it. Yeah, I was thinking too about this idea that we measure goodness in terms of God and not ourselves. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been wrestling with some things that I thought I understood, that I wanted to understand. And if you think about it in terms of light, there's a song by Need to Breathe that I've been sort of listening to over and over again, and it's called Multiplied. And the lyrics, I think, are really powerful as we think about light and truth. It says, your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfires singing your name. And so here we get this idea of light and the love of God coming to find us. But it's the chorus that really gets me. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. And so as the light of God is made obvious to us, as we are loved by this great love of Jesus, we then see the design, the good design that comes from him, and we surrender to that, whether we want to or like it or not. That is sort of the way that the world works best.
Yeah, we're to be imitators is where my mind went with that. And one of the cool analogies that I've used before and heard is with the solar system. You look at the sun is the center, right? And we see the moon sometimes we see the moon at night. But that's just a reflection of the light off the sun. And God, in the very beginning of creation, created light. We're to reflect the light of Jesus. And it's not because, like, we're good. It's because God is good. He sent us his son out of love for us, and Jesus went to the cross to be the sacrifice. And that whole story that we know, I'm not trying to minimize that, but we know that. And we, as followers of Jesus, are to be moons, to reflect the light of the sun. And it's not.
Have you been mooning people?
I have been trying to moon more people. Yeah, in the sense that I'm talking about. The other one will, you know, I'll let that be in my past.
You threw that one up. That was a softball. I couldn't resist.
But I just think it's so cool how even in God's created order of the universe and the way the earth works and the stars and the moon are at night, like it comes back to this idea of like, we cannot reflect the light of Christ without him. Like we can't do it on our own because then we have no measuring stick for what we talked about at the beginning, what actually is good.
So I talked to a simple country astrophysicist a few days ago and I asked him about, I'm like, how do black holes work? Just a simple question, right?
Yes.
And I said, make it simple for me because I'm a simple feller. And he goes, it will not reflect the light. It cannot reflect the light. And I went, whoa, that's like really profound. Like something that can't reflect the light, you can't actually see, is just going to be dark. But I was thinking about that in the concept of when the Bible talks about hell, it talks about it in darkness, that light is not reflecting in it. That God has, he's taking his goodness away from it. And I'm like, oh, that's a scary place to be. And then I was thinking about the scripture and the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit, one of the works of the Trinity of God, the Holy Spirit, is to illuminate scripture. It's to help us to see the light that is in it. And I'm like, oh, this is really good. Like, this is a huge flashlight, the Bible is, for this light that has come to us, this light, this goodness that comes from God, is authoritative in the sense that it is the light that we understand the world by. We understand who we are by. We understand our place and our position by, because the scriptures speak into that and tell us about how this thing works. And it tells us about the light of the world. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah, there is something to be said, though, for how the light is shining, I guess. And what I mean by that is you don't usually shine the flashlight right in your eyes, and you wouldn't want to take the big flashlight of scripture and shine it in somebody else's eyes.
Do you think that's why people can't see God? Like he says to Moses, Moses says, show me your glory. And he says, yo, dude, you can't see my glory, mm-hmm. but I'll pass you by and you can take a little peeksy. You can only see a little piece of it because it's so bright and so powerful that it would kill you if you did. Is that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and with the Spirit part of illuminating God's word to us, Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Like, God didn't leave us here 2,000 years after Jesus, the light of the world gone, to just be like, oh, you guys, you had a little glimpse, just figure it out now. He's like, no, I gave you my word. I've given you my helper, my counselor, to give you wise advice and a path set out for life. But here it is. It's all laid out in this book.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of being human, is he created us with the ability to reason, the ability to understand. We have faith in God, not because we are just jumping into something. It's because we've reasoned and we have faith in what God has said about himself. And we say, this is true. This is light. This is the way, the truth, and the life. And we place our hope in what God says. Biblical hope is always connected to the reality of the goodness of God.
Well, yeah. And if you've been reading with us in our community Bible reading reality group, we've been reading Exodus. And it's the same sort of thing. God frees them by way of Moses and a bunch of miracles from the Egyptians. But then after he gets them on the other side of the Red Sea by all these miracles and divine amazingness, he then asks them to enter into a covenant relationship of obedience. And he does the same with us. It's not like he's asking us to take a blind leap of faith. His faithfulness is historically proven, both individually and corporately, I guess you could say. He is good. He is true. He is light. These things can be counted on. And so you're not jumping into an abyss of the unknown when you're choosing the direction of Jesus.
Yeah. There's a great song that I really like. It says, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Hope built with a life spent at looking at Jesus, looking at the reality of how he created this world for us, and understanding that he loves us and he understands good and he is the source of good. And so we just hope that you understand who Jesus is. He is the light of the world, and he stepped into darkness, which is this world, for us, And if you place your faith in him, there is a step, there is a growth toward the light. And so that is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us this week. If you've got questions or comments or a topic that you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes aired on Good News You Can Use, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or find those on our website, evangelup.org.